Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about brands. So if you've been following the channel, you'll know that following the invasion, a lot of big companies came out and made statements that they were either exiting from their operations in Russia or that they would no longer be selling any of their goods into the Russian markets. And this included lots of big international brands. And Russia is now potentially looking at a period of reverse industrialization, where they will be starved of technology that's not available within Russia. And over the last couple of months, we've seen a lot of companies either closing down their operations in Russia or shutting off all of their logistical supplies so that none of their brands are now being promoted and sold into the Russian markets. However, the Russian authorities have now announced that they have passed a new law which allows the import of a variety of named brands without the trademark owner's approval. So essentially what they've done is legalized what was previously known as the grey market. So in this video, we'll have a look at exactly what the grey market is. We'll look at the legal restrictions that prevent the sale of brands and the changes to the law that Russia have just brought in. And then we'll talk about the risk factors involved in this from both the brand perspective and also from the Russian consumer's perspective. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of this change are for both Russia and the international brands and the global economy as a whole. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and also YouTube's Super Thanks feature. At the start of the war, a variety of international brands came out and announced that they were either suspending their operations or exiting entirely from Russia. And this included some of the biggest brands in the world. And the cost of exiting the Russian markets has been significant for a lot of these brands. So this wasn't a decision that was taken lightly. A lot of these companies have been investing a lot of time, money, and effort into the Russian markets. And so pulling out has been a big economic decision, but these companies wanted to show that they are against the war in Ukraine, and therefore they don't want to be selling into a market and potentially providing tax benefits for the Russian authorities. So with the removal of a lot of these brands, it looked likely that the Russian people were going to be heading back towards the old Soviet regime, where they couldn't access any of the international brands and they could only buy things that were made in Russia. However, the Russian authorities have just announced that they have now authorized retailers to import products from abroad without the trademark owner's permission. The Prime Minister of Russia, who reports directly to President Putin, announced that parallel imports were needed to ensure that certain goods could continue to be shipped to Russia. He said that the measure will develop competition between brands through an increase in the number of businesses that can import goods to Russia, which will lead to a decrease in retail prices for these goods. The general director of one of the largest online retailers in Russia, Wildberries, went on to say that small and medium-sized businesses will be allowed to legally import foreign goods without seeking additional permissions, and the consumers will get access to a wider assortment of goods of a high quality for reasonable prices. So this all seems great news from the Russian consumers' point of view, because they'll still be able to get access to a lot of big international brands. But obviously this is in direct contravention of the sanctions that have been brought in against Russia, both by countries and also by these brands themselves. And so this wasn't the desired outcome when all of these sanctions were announced. A grey market is a situation when authentic goods are diverted and distributed outside of the official distribution channels without the brand or trademark holder's approval. So this situation relates to authentic goods, not counterfeit goods. And this has been going on in Russia for a long period of time. If you've watched the recent video that I posted on reverse industrialization in Russia, you'll know that a shuttle trade started in the early 1990s. And this was a situation that grew up because a lot of brands were not available in Russia. There were no distribution agreements. None of the big companies saw the Russian market as being attractive back then. And so the people of Russia would take buses and planes to various countries around the world, buy large quantities of certain items, and then bring them back with them on their personal travels. And these items would then be sold at markets. Now, that early grey market was established because there was no distribution into Russia for any of those brands at the time. And so the consumers, the people of Russia, wanted those items, and they went out and bought the items and brought them back and then sold them to other people. But over the last 30 years, Russia has become more capitalist and more commercialized, and all of those big brands either now have facilities within Russia or they have distribution partners all across Russia. So once the official distribution system was put into place in Russia, there was no need for the unofficial shuttle trade, and so the grey market died away. Now, the other reason that a grey market appears in certain countries is because of price differential. So if a brand pitches its products at a much lower level in certain countries around the world, then people will buy that product at a lower price and then will unofficially move that product into other markets where it can be sold at a higher level. And this is one of the challenges for brands worldwide, to manage their price point and make sure that they don't cannibalize their own sales by offering their products at lower levels in different markets. So that's one of the reasons that when you see luxury and premium brands, they price at a high level in all countries around the world. Now, there are occasionally exchange rate differences which allow the benefit of being able to buy things at a slightly lower level. But generally speaking, if you're managing an international brand, you'll try to keep the prices at some sort of level of parity to stop the grey markets appearing and items being moved from one country to another. So that's the two main reasons why grey markets appear. Either product is entirely unavailable in an area, or it's being sold at a much lower price in a different market and then gets moved into the higher priced markets. With regards to the legal situation, companies want to control the brands that they own. And in order to do that, they will either set up their own international infrastructure whereby they have different companies all across the world that are managing the control of that brand, or they will sign deals with distribution partners in overseas countries. And that distribution deal will usually provide some form of exclusivity for that partner geographically. So that means that you know who's in charge of your brand all across the world. And once you've got that infrastructure in place, you can then police it, because if you identify that your brand's being sold in unauthorized locations or retailers, then you can go in and close that distribution channel down. Now, with regards to what's going on right now in Russia, the brands either had their own individual entities that were managing their brand, or they've got Russian partners who were managing the distribution. Now, obviously, once the sanctions were announced and all of these companies decided that they were exiting Russia, that has cancelled all of those arrangements. So there should now be zero distribution of all of these brands within Russia. But the Russian authorities have now passed new legislation which allows these brands to re-enter Russia. And the reason that the Russian authorities have been able to do that is because in Russia, the principle of national exhaustion of rights applies. And according to this concept, the right holder loses all exclusive rights stipulated by the Russian intellectual property law after the goods are first released for civil commerce within the country by the rights holder or with its consent. So what this concept of national exhaustion is saying is that once the brand has been sold at any point, then the owner of that brand loses all control over what happens from there on in. So essentially, if a Russian importer can strike a deal with anybody across the world who's got product of that particular brand, then that no longer infringes any sort of copyright or trademark issues. So in March 2022, a law was passed that entitles the Russian government to determine the list of products to which the international principle of exhaustion of trademark rights apply, if they are sold by the owner in any part of the world. This means that these goods can be imported into the territory of the Russian Federation without the rights holder's consent. The list of such goods will be made by the Ministry of Industry and Trade based on suggestions of federal agencies, and all necessary customs and control procedures will be carried out in relation to these goods. It should be emphasised that parallel imports does not mean legalisation of counterfeit goods. What is meant here is that the original goods produced by the right holders itself or with its consent will be imported through alternative channels. It's expected that the decision will help to provide the domestic market with high-demand goods and stabilise prices for them amid external restrictions. At the same time, the FAS believes that parallel imports should not be applied if the rights holder or other persons with its consent have localised and ensured the continuous production of goods in Russia. So what this final section is saying here is that if these companies continue to operate in Russia or continue to allow their goods to legally be imported into Russia in the same way as they were previously, then the Russian authorities will not seek to import those goods by parallel imports. However, everybody else is fair game. As you might expect, the list of brands that have been authorised for parallel imports is significant. The document that's been published by the Russian authorities is over 20 pages long and lists more than 200 brands. This includes a comprehensive list of automobile brands, including Tesla, Jeep, Chrysler, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Dodge, Rover, GMC and Mack. It also includes engines and parts manufacturers, including Volvo, Nissan, Volkswagen, and tyre manufacturers such as Michelin, Goodyear, Continental and Bridgestone. Not surprisingly, there is a long list of tech, smartphone and appliance manufacturers such as Apple, HP, Panasonic, Samsung, Nokia, Sony, Electrolux, Dyson and even the gaming brands Xbox, PlayStation and Nintendo. The list also includes equipment for various industries including mining, electricity, rail and shipping, agriculture and forestry. So the intention from the Russian authorities is clear here. They want to keep a regular supply of all of these major brands for their population. Now, I previously talked about the potential hardship that a lot of Russian consumers were going to have to face over the next couple of years because they wouldn't have access to a lot of the big brands that they've got very used to dealing with. So legalising these parallel imports would potentially counter that problem from the Russian authorities' perspective. But the issue here really is whether or not the brands will be able to still control the distribution of their product. If a brand wants to ensure that its products don't end up in the Russian markets, then it will have to control all of its existing distribution systems. All brands will have data in terms of how much each of its partners is selling on a monthly basis. So if a brand sees that one of its partners is suddenly selling significantly more product in a particular market, then there is a real risk that that partner is selling all of those products to a distributor who is then importing it into Russia. So there is potentially a mechanism to be able to control the supply of the brand if the brand so wishes to do so. If you see that one of your partners in one part of the world is suddenly ordering 10 times more branded product than they have done historically, then that would raise a big question mark as to how that has suddenly happened. And if you were to then talk to that partner and get an explanation from them, then you may be able to establish that it isn't really because their local market has suddenly taken off, but more likely that they've signed a distribution deal with a Russian importer who wants to buy a large amount of that product. But this really will come down to whether or not the brand has those systems in place, which it should do, and then whether or not it wants to police who's actually buying the product. Lots of brands have come out and said that they no longer want to sell into Russia officially, but would they stop unofficial sales through the grey and parallel market? That's a really big question here and one that remains to be answered. One of the big challenges that the Russian authorities will face with regards to importing products through the parallel market is the logistical side of things. A lot of the big shipping companies and a lot of the big container companies have come out and stated that they no longer want to do any business in Russia. So Russia is having a logistical problem right now because they can't take imports because nobody wants to actually deliver any of those goods. So one of the challenges for this grey market, parallel market conundrum is even if they can find a supplier who's happy to sell those branded products to them on a secondary basis, will they be able to actually organise the delivery of that product? Because if they can't find shipping or container businesses who are prepared to actually load that product and deliver it into the Russian ports, then they won't actually be able to complete on the transaction. So that's one of the big challenges that the Russian authorities have here. They will need to put in place their own logistical supply chains to be able to move all of this product. And when you're talking about big items such as cars and railway parts and infrastructure for electricity, then you need to have cargo ships to be able to move that en masse. One of the major risks of approving the import of parallel goods is counterfeiting. Big brands spend a lot of time and money policing their brands and making sure that counterfeit products are identified and taken off the shelves. And alongside the grey market is what's known as the green market. And the green market is a situation where either a counterfeit good looks very, very similar to the original branded product, or where counterfeiters take old packaging and boxing and put their counterfeit product into it. So a great example is perfume. If you can get hold of an empty perfume bottle and the box that it came in, then you can put counterfeit perfume into that bottle and sell it as if it was the branded product. So one of the challenges for the Russian authorities now is that they will have to police the management of that parallel market. So they will have to do a check to make sure that all of the goods that they are allowing to be imported are genuine and not counterfeit. And the problem with a lot of this is that counterfeits these days are very, very good. It is quite difficult to differentiate between the original branded product and a counterfeit product if it's a good quality counterfeit. So the Russian authorities are running the risk here that somebody somewhere will see this as a huge opportunity to produce a large amount of counterfeit product and then sell it into the Russian market as if it was the original branded version. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, at the start of this war, we saw lots and lots of major brands come out and say that they were no longer going to sell any of their product into Russia. But of course, we're working in a global economy today, and everybody can get access to brands, whichever country of the world you're in. So there is always a possibility that somebody somewhere would be prepared to sell those brands to a Russian distributor for the right price. So the situation that we've got today, where no new stock of any of these brands are being sold into the Russian markets, is not dissimilar to what we saw in the early 1990s when those products were just simply not available in Russia. And what happened back in those days was that the people of Russia started to go abroad, buy those products and bring them back in. What we've got right now is a legalized version of that. So the Russian authorities have identified that the shuttle trade would be too small. It wouldn't satisfy general demand. So they've gone one step further and actually approved the importation of all of these branded products through unofficial channels. So they've basically acknowledged that the brands no longer want their brands to be sold into Russia, and so they brought in a new law that says it doesn't really matter what the brand holder says, because once they've sold the product once, they lose control of that brand forever. So if we can find somebody somewhere in the world who's prepared to sell that brand to a Russian distributor, then that cuts the trademark link in Russian terms, and therefore we can then happily sell all of that branded product in Russia on a legalized basis. So this is basically a way of the Russian authorities avoiding the sanctions that have been brought in against them. And what they're trying to do here is keep the people of Russia happy by making sure that they've still got access to all of those branded consumer products. And this isn't just perfume and clothing, this goes all the way up to large vehicles. So what will be very interesting here is how much control the brands try to exert on their distribution networks. If they wanted to stop any external exports into Russia, then they would have to manage every single one of their distributors to make sure that there wasn't suddenly a big spike in demand in a country unexpectedly, which was essentially meaning that those extra products were being exported into Russia. So it will be interesting to see which brands come out and try to stop this export into Russia and which of those don't. The ones that basically say, well, we can't really control who's buying our product beyond our factory gate, and therefore if these things find their way to Russia, so be it. So it will be interesting to see what happens, but I wanted to post this video just to show you exactly what's going on the ground level in terms of the Russian people. They still want to buy branded Western products, and the Russian authorities have now brought in this new law to enable them to do that. Whether or not they can actually get that product delivered into Russia, whether they can get the logistics to work, remains to be seen. Whether the brands try to stop it, remains to be seen. But I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments. And if you've liked what I've said today, if you've thought it was interesting, educational and informative, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. We have now smashed through 3,700 hours. So we're over 90% of the way there. We're very, very close now. So if you can still keep watching those videos, I know it's boring, I know you've seen them before, but please jump over to Joe Blogs 2. Click on one or two of the videos or the playlist would be really great if you could do that. And then we will smash through that 4,000 hour barrier. And then we'll be at the point when I can apply for monetization and we'll be ready to start. So in advance of that, if I could ask you to keep working on those videos, if you've got an idea, if you've got something that you've been thinking about doing a video on, something that either you're a specialist in or it's your hobby or you're just really interested in, or something that you just think would be amusing for other people or interesting, then put it together. Make sure you've got a start, a middle and an end. It's got a nice structure to it. You film it on a decent device. Please use a microphone if you can to get some decent sound quality. And then we're ready to go. Then we can start posting up some of these really interesting videos. And I know a lot of you are doing that work, but also I know a lot of people are just excited to see what's out there, to see what sort of thing that we're going to be posting. So we're really, really close now. Please watch one or two more videos. Hopefully within the next week or so, we'll be past that 4,000 hour mark and I can stop asking you guys to watch all of those videos and then we can move on to the really interesting part of this experiment. So thanks for watching this part of the video and thanks for watching this video all the way to the end.